We doubled our song production for Sunday afternoon. It's good. Good, good. Hey, guess what? We're going to finish Genesis. And we're going right to Song of Solomon. No, we're not. Really? It was plugged in? Okay, I will. Okay, I got to go fast then. Got to go fast. 3 points. Joseph's faith. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Here we go. All right, Genesis chapter 50. And also Hebrews 11:22, which I think I'm going to go over there and read that first. Okay, is that okay? Does that sound good? All right, good. Hebrews 11:22. The Bible says, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." That's Hebrews 11:22. So Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Genesis 50 is that record. That's where this happens. So in chapter 49, Jacob dies, the patriarch. Genesis 50, Joseph is going to live to a good old age there, and then he will die, and the children of Israel will all be in Goshen in Egypt. But the thing that I want to point out this afternoon is Joseph's faith. Joseph's faith. That was what was mentioned in Hebrews 11, Joseph's faith. And I'll say that Joseph's life was pleasing to God before this time in his life. I mean, obviously he was someone that already had faith in the Lord, trusted the Lord, and made some decisions based on that, and acted in faith multiple times in his life before this. But this just happens to be the incident that is pointed out by Paul in Hebrews, although Paul will go on to say, you know, there's so many other things I could say about people's faith, you know, but I just don't have the space to write about all of it. So he definitely handpicked a few places where he could really exemplify faith in the person's life. And so this is where Joseph's faith is marked in Hebrews in Genesis 50. So there are really three things that stand out with Joseph's life. But let's read. Go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. It says, "And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up, bury thy father, according as he made thee swear." So Jacob dies. Jacob is going to be buried up back in Canaan. And Joseph is getting permission from the Pharaoh to do that. And the Pharaoh is very accommodating and says, yes, go do what you need to do. Go bury your dad. And you can take your family with you. And yes, you can do that. Verse 7, "Joseph went up to bury his father. And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. A lot of people there, a lot of people attending this funeral. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with great and very sore lamentation. He made a mourning for his father 7 days, and when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians, wherefore the name of it is called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan." And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. So they did what Jacob had asked them to do, go bury him there. Joseph returned to Egypt, verse 14, his brethren and all that went with him to bury his father, and after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." Y'all know what that means, right? Jacob's dead. Now we're in trouble. Our dad kind of kept a rein on Joseph while he was alive, and that was the reason that Joseph acted the way he did. But now Jacob's dead, and our dad is dead, and now Joseph is going to use all the power of Egypt to destroy our lives. But that's not Joseph. He's not going to do that. But they worry about that. Verse 19, Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So Joseph's perspective is much different on what's going on. Verse 21, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's great type of Christ. They treated him poorly, and he says, "No, this was meant to your good. God used it for your good. And I'm in a position, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to deal kindly with you." Verse 22, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die." Now here's the Hebrews part. "Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." All right, let's pray. And I'm going to give you three things about Joseph's faith. Joseph's faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. And I do pray that you would guide us through this study, help us, you'd feed your flock, you would nourish us the way we need to be nourished. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for life. And what a great illustration Joseph is of a man with in whom life is. This is where life is found for Jacob's children and his family. And I thank you for giving us your words. And I pray that you'd help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says Joseph lives in Egypt until he is, and he dies in Egypt, and he's 110 years old. That means he has been in Egypt. What is that? He goes there at 17 years old, and now he's 110 years old. So what is that? 93 years he has been in Egypt, and from the time he's 30 years old, he's a ruler in Egypt. So for 80 years, he's been in some form of government in Egypt. And the biggest thing that he's been able to do in government was when the famine showed up for 7 years, he was able to provide food and save food and store food and essentially save the world, more specifically, save Jacob's family, save his brothers. And so he's been in Egypt for this 93 years. He's been a politician, I guess you could say, for 80 years. And at his death, he says, and he makes mention of this, he says, you know, I brought y'all here to save your lives, but God's intention really isn't for you to stay here. And there's coming a day when he's going to move you out of Egypt. And he's going to put you in the place that he promised Abraham and Isaac and our dad, Jacob. And when he does that, I want you to take my bones and bring them with you. Because I don't want to stay in Egypt. This is not my home. My home is not Egypt. Even though I've been here for 93 years, this is not my home. And so the first thing I notice about Joseph's faith is Joseph never lost sight of God's promise. He never loses sight of God's promise. And that promise had directed Joseph's life many times before. He'd never lose sight of what God had said. In his life, he had been tempted with fornication. He fled from fornication because of God's promise, because of his relationship to God. He would never get bitter in circumstances. And you know, these are components of his faith. His faith educated him in how to behave with Potiphar's wife and how not to behave with Potiphar's wife. His faith educated him in how to respond emotionally when he's dealt with injustice. And so he doesn't get mad at his brothers, and he doesn't try to ruin their lives. He ends up saving their lives. But all of his decisions and his life has been influenced and been directed by his relationship to God. He would work as unto the Lord because of the promise. When he's brought before Pharaoh, he gives God the glory, and he says, for instance, when Pharaoh has that dream, he says, interpretations belong to God. I mean, this is a man whose life is lived in light of God's words. That's really how his life is lived. And so he never loses sight of God's promise. He would be exalted because of God's promise. He would be put in a position of authority because of his relationship to God. And it was a relationship his brothers didn't necessarily have. They didn't necessarily have that relationship with God. But Joseph did. And so because of these things, his life, like I said, is lived in a constant view of what is God's determination? What is God's expectation of my life? What is God equipping me to do? And so Joseph, he never loses sight of God's promise. It's amazing. He sits there in Egypt. He's a ruler in Egypt. But he's just sort of doing things that he needs to do. It's not like he makes Egypt necessarily his home. I mean, it becomes where he lives, but that brings us to the second point, which really not only does Joseph never lose sight of God's promise, but you find that Joseph's heart's never really in Egypt. It was never in Egypt. He was forcefully put in Egypt, and he thrived in Egypt because of his relationship to God. His relationship with the Lord, he thrives in this position because at the end of the day, anybody, any leadership who faces a problem and faces a problem that is as big as a 7-year famine really is looking for solutions to the problem. And if you happen to be the guy that has the solution to the problem, which you are if you're Joseph and you have a relationship with the God who knows about the problem and knows how to deal with it, well, then Joseph is going to be your guy because you need problems to be solved. That's what you need. And so this is how God uses guys like Joseph and Daniel. He uses Daniel. Daniel is a problem solver. Daniel is, the Bible says, he's able to dissolve doubts. So he deals, when he deals with Nebuchadnezzar, the way God is using these men and glorifying these men is not he's not just propping them up just because they should be propped up. They're being useful because they understand the situation and they have solutions to the situation. And the reason they have these solutions is because they know God and they can discern the matters. They understand the problems. And so that being said, Joseph, number one, he never lost sight of God's promise. Number two, his heart is never in Egypt, even though he thrives in Egypt. That's a great, there's some application there with the Christian and the way a Christian ought to operate in the world. This is something that really you got to get a hold of as far as the Christian life. And I don't necessarily want to do like the history of this thing, but there has some belief that Christianity and my relationship with God happens in this box, and then I live my life in a different way. I go to school and I'm a student, and I live this other way, or I'm an employee and I live this other way. And then I have this relationship with God, and it's maybe on Sunday or, you know, a couple hours on Sunday or something like that. But that is never the intention of Christianity. When the Lord saves a soul, He leaves a soul in the culture. And He says, okay, you're light now. You're the light. You should be able to thrive in this. Yeah, the world is against Jesus Christ. Yes, they're against the system is against Jesus Christ. It doesn't like God's righteousness. But you as a Christian, Paul says it this way. He says, look, whether you eat or drink, you should do all to the glory of God. You know what that is? That is the most basic thing any human being can do. Eating, drinking. And he says, even at that level ought to be done in relation to God. What is the relationship with God here? Then he talks about dealing with servants and masters, and if you're a servant, then you should do a good job for your master. Why? Because you're ultimately serving God. And the point is, Christianity is not just about, I don't want to say just about saving souls. The point of saving souls is so that they provide light now to the world that they live in. And so Joseph is an excellent example of that. He has a relationship with God and he thrives in the culture he lives in because he knows a God whose wisdom is beyond the world's wisdom. And so when these terrible problems show up in Egypt, and ultimately for the rest of the world, Joseph is the guy that has the solution. But he gives credit where credit's due. He says, look, God is the interpreter of dreams. God can tell you what to do. But that all said, Joseph's heart, though Joseph thrives in Egypt, he's very good at what he does. His heart's not really in Egypt because of the promise. And so after 93 years of thriving in Egypt, he says, you know, I know that one day God's going to move our family out of here. This is not our home. So when that happens, I want you to take my bones with you to Canaan. And the reason he says that, it's Joseph's faith is going to outlive the grave. I wonder, and I've kind of come to this conclusion about what did the Old Testament saints expect? What were they looking for? What did they know? What they did not know? Clearly, there's a look for Messiah. People are looking for the Messiah, particularly in the Hebrew culture. They're looking for the Messiah. They're looking for a resurrection. They talk about a resurrection. What's not so clear is the cross. That seems to be the big thing. They don't understand the cross. They do understand the resurrection. And they do understand the Messiah. And we've already read just in Genesis about some of that talk, about messianic discussion and things like that with Jacob's discussion of his children. But when Joseph says, take my bones out of Egypt and take them to Canaan, that is an understanding that one day I am coming out of the ground. And when I come out of the ground, I want to be in God's promised land. I don't want to be in Egypt. And so he says, take my bones with you when you move back to Canaan. So Joseph's heart, his heart's never in Egypt because of the promise. And number three, Joseph's faith along these lines, his faith is going to move others in line with the promise of God. He looks for the resurrection. His statements correspond with Paul's statements in Philippians 3:10 and talking about the resurrection, attain unto the resurrection, things like that. Joseph is looking for a resurrection. That's his faith. That's why he's saying what he's saying. Take my bones, verse 25. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Take them with you. Take them with you where God is going to plant you. Because that's where I want to come up. That's where I want to come up. And so his faith now moves these other people, these other folks involved, to fall in line with the promises of God. He takes an oath of the children of Israel. And his, I don't know if it's because he doesn't trust them. I don't know. But he certainly wants to be where God wants the nation, his family, to be. He said, I know God's going to do this. I know God's going to do this. And I don't necessarily know what you're going to do when this happens. And so he took an oath, the Bible says. So he made him swear to take his bones. And they do that in Exodus. They end up taking his bones. And they take him with them out into the wilderness and up into when they eventually get to Canaan. But Joseph's faith moved others in line with the promise of God. What was the promise? The promise is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, y'all are going into this land. What happened? Well, they're sidetracked now. Now they're in Egypt. Well, does that mean the promise is no good anymore? No. No, that's not what it means. It just means they're just not in the promised land right now. It means there's a little detour that they didn't expect. And in the time of the detour, God's gonna sift through the men in the family, and he's going to identify where the seed's going to come from. He's going to identify some of the spiritual characteristics of the seed, and in that time, he's going to get some other things accomplished, and then in the future, Craig brought it up the other day about the 430 years, which is interesting. It was interesting because with Moses, there are four generations. Let's see, from when the Israelites enter into Egypt to Moses and and his wandering in the wilderness. But in some tribes, there's like 6 and 8 generations. So you have, like in Judah, there's like 6 or 8 generation gap. So, but Moses is like 120 years old. He's very old whenever he starts leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. So, but anyway, it looks like there's several hundred years between this time and the time that they actually get moved out of Egypt, which we will probably start on Exodus next week and just keep going down with this story, continuing on. But Joseph's faith, very simple statement about his burial, his future, and at the end of Genesis, Joseph, his faith, number one, he never loses sight of God's promise. He never thinks, okay, well, God hasn't done it yet. You know, I've been here 93 years and he hasn't done anything. No, Joseph is still, no, God's going to get us out of here. I don't know when it's going to be, but eventually he's going to move us to where he said he's going to move us to. So he never loses sight of that promise. Second thing is his faith meant his heart was never really in Egypt. He thrives in Egypt. He does a good job in Egypt. He's rewarded very well in Egypt. But his heart's never in Egypt. That's not really what his heart's set on. And then he moves in faith to move others in line with the promise of God. Hey, you guys are going to be moving out, and what I want you to do whenever that time comes and that day happens, I want you to take my bones with you, and I want you to take them to Canaan, and that way I can be buried in Canaan whenever that happens. And eventually I'll come up, and there'll be a resurrection, and I'll come up in Canaan. So Joseph's faith moved others in line with the promise of God, and Joseph's just an excellent example of a man of faith. In Hebrews, he just picks out this very last thing about Joseph's life. But Joseph's life is really characterized by faith in a lot of places. But anyhow, this is Joseph's faith according to Hebrews 11:22. This is this instance where he reminds the children of Israel of their leaving Egypt and gives commandment concerning his own bones. You say, how is that faith? I mean, that's not like facing the lion or anything. What is that? No, it's a response to what God said. That's what faith is. It's a response to what God said. God said, you will be in the promised land, and I'm going to take this nation into the promised land. And Joseph's response is, yes, God will take this nation into the promised land. And when he does, take my bones with you and bury me there. And then I'll be resurrected there when that day comes. So that's Joseph's faith. And that's the end of Genesis. Some folks have mentioned, and it's kind of indicative of the whole Bible, it seems like. But Genesis starts off with God creating. And the very last words in Genesis are a coffin in Egypt. that's the last thing in Genesis, a coffin in Egypt. So dun dun dun, there you go. That's the end of Genesis. So that's Joseph's faith. I hope that's helpful. He's a good man, good study, good type of Christ. Helpful stuff. So let's pray. And we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. I pray it's helpful to see a man's faith and the application of that faith in this situation. And that really is what it is. It's the application of Joseph's faith in the situation that he's in. And I pray you give us the wisdom to apply faith in the situation that we're in. So, Lord, I pray you'd provide that wisdom. Help us be good at what we're doing for your name's sake. Help us be excellent stewards of what you've given us. And just be good servants, masters, whatever the case is, employers, employees, whatever the case may be. but we would all do it in relation to you and what your view of our lives is. And I pray you'd help us with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.